Engage for Success Radio, raising the profile of employee engagement and shining a light on good practice for people who believe there's a better way to work.
Well, good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to show number 206 from Engage for Success. I'm your host for today. I'm Jo Moffat, founder and managing director of Woodread, and we specialize in helping our clients use their brands to engage their internal audiences and develop high-performing cultures. And the topic of today's show is rather intriguingly entitled one, because we're going to be talking about the power of 95, which is a concept that I'm looking forward to learning more about, and then and the 10 essential traits of an engaging manager. Now, I understand that bit. I'm just not too, so clear on the front end bit, but I'm sure my guests for today are going to do a great job of explaining that for us all. So I'm very pleased to welcome, I've got two guests today. I've got Lindsay McGee, MD and co-founder of 3P, and colleague Trevor Norman, who is also a co-founder of 3P. So very pleased to have you both with us this afternoon. Hello, Trevor and Lindsay.
Hi, Jo. Nice to be here.
Good afternoon. Nice to be here.
Good to have you both. Thank you. Before we get into the detail of our subject today in a bit more depth, can I just ask each of you, perhaps start with you, Lindsay, just to give us a little bit of a brief overview of your background.
Yeah, sure. My background started out as a chemist many, many years ago. Uh-huh. And then spent a lot of time in the chemical manufacturing and oil field-based industries. Uh-huh. And then gravitated into the pharmaceutical environment, where I gravitated into management and leadership. Uh-huh. And a strong interest then in behavioral-based initiatives to improve performance, and linked very tightly with the performance team to bring an engagement program to turbo boost performance in a big pharmaceutical company with great success. That's a real pot of history about my background as regards to 3P. We can talk about that in a moment.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, we'll come to that. And so, Trevor, what about you?
Yeah, my background really was in production management in the pharmaceutical industry. Uh-huh. However, I moved probably about sort of 10-15 years ago more into the process improvement side, looking at implementing sort of lean continuous improvement programs, looking with a view to improve performance. And then really, we delivering these different programs, we quickly realized really that you can only take the process so far without starting to focus on the people, which then really got me sort of interested and involved in employee engagement and trying to bring process and people sort of together in the same programs.
Okay. And so you're both co-founders of 3P, and I know that 3P are very much involved with us at Engage for Success. I think you're regional ambassadors for the movement, and you co-founded the Northeast Engagement Focus Network, Engage Northeast, which I know we're going to try and talk a little bit more about that if we've got some time at the end of the show. But can you, Lindsay, just give us a little bit of a brief idea about 3P as an organisation, what you actually do?
Yes, sure. Well, we founded this company back in 2013. Mm-hmm. With the real initiative thinking about employee engagement and bringing all the great experience and knowledge and tools that we've learned in the world of big business to the private sector. And 3P is our sort of branding for the company. We're actually called Peak Performance Partnership Limited. That's where the 3Ps come from. What we do, we're a business performance consultancy. We specialize in talent management. And for us, that's helping businesses and individuals to reach their potential. We focus across the four pillars of talent management, which is the acquisition side, bringing people into business, succession planning, making sure there's a good career path for individuals, and then the improvement side, which we start getting into behavioral training, and then the ultimate of talent management is retention and engagement. So we have a big driver for retention and engagement in our business philosophy. And our key focus is people. It always has been. And we believe that all areas of a business can benefit when you focus on people. Now, I know a lot of companies say that, and it's trite to say it these days, but we really believe that.
Well,
we make sure that organizations got the right people in the right roles with the necessary skills, knowledge, and behaviors to succeed.
Do you know, it surprises me, actually, how often we still, you saying it's trite to say it. Do you know, it's amazing how many organizations I go and talk to who still don't necessarily get it or really understand how to do it. So we're going to be talking, today's topic, as I said, is really about the 10 essential traits of managers, the power of 95, this concept, which I'm looking forward to finding out more about, and its impact on employee engagement. So can we kick off first, because it leads on from what you were just saying, I think, Lindsay. Employee engagement, how would you define it? Because there's a lot of debates about what it actually is and what it means. So what is it to you?
Yeah, to us, we steal with pride. We look at what's out there. And we like the work of Kevin Kruse. For those who haven't heard of Kevin Kruse, New York Times best-selling author, Employee Engagement 2.0. Defined as how to engage and motivate your team for high performance. And we like his definition, and we use that. It's employee engagement does not mean happy. And we've heard that many a time. How can I make my people happy? It's not about that, although it's nice to have a happy workforce. But it's not just about that. It doesn't mean satisfied. Yeah? Satisfied employees, fantastic. But it's really employee engagement is the emotional commitment an employee has to the organization and its goals. So I'll repeat that. Yeah? Employee engagement is the emotional commitment an employee has to the organization and its goals. That's how we define it. And that's what we live by.
Yeah, do you know, I'd absolutely be with you on that. I mentioned at the beginning that we use brand to engage employees. And, of course, the engagement that people have with brands is emotional. That's the power brands have. So, absolutely, you know, I'm certainly with you on that definition. We like stealing with pride as well. There's a lovely one that I think it was HSBC used, which I quite like as well, which is an engaged employee is an employee who has the talent to leave, but the desire to stay.
I quite
like that one as well. So Trevor, let's talk about managers then. So we've defined our terms. Why then is it that managers, who are going to form a key part of our conversation this afternoon, why are they so important for you?
Well, for us, we looked at the four enablers, the Engage for Success four enablers of strategic narrative.
Yes.
Integrity, employee voice, and engaging managers. So you need that strategic narrative, but if you think of integrity and employee voice, that's really going to come from the managers as well. So we thought three of those four enablers is around the managers and the day-to-day relationship that people have got with those managers. So we very quickly realized that, you know, embarking on an engagement program can seem quite daunting to a lot of people. However, we thought, you know, frontline managers typically account for 5% of the workforce. So we thought by developing the 5% can make a massive inroads into any engagement program. So that's where we came up with the power of 95. Essentially, you've got 5% of the workforce who can strongly influence either positively or negatively the other 95%. That's why focus that we put on is the 5% of the managers who are going to make a difference with it, with engagement.
I got you. So the power of 95 as a concept is what you can do with the 95 when you leverage their power as a result of what your managers who make up 5% of the organisation do, either for good or ill.
Absolutely, Joe. That's
right.
A nice summary, actually, yeah.
Right, got you. Okay, then. So I noticed in the sort of introduction to the show, we talked about, you talked about having developed an engaging manager framework out of that, and in order to really try and influence the performance of these 5%. And as you say, they they absolutely impact three of the Engage for Success Four enablers, don't they? So can you tell me a little bit, Trevor, about how this Engaging Manager framework came about?
Yeah, we wanted to develop a program specifically aimed at that 5% of people who we've just mentioned, those managers. But we wanted to do it, we didn't just want to give a sheep-dip approach, and we wanted to make it very bespoke to the individuals who were going to be involved. So what we done was we wanted a framework, or really what we call it is a behavioural competency.
Uh-huh.
And the competency really was started back, as Lindsay mentioned, Kevin Cruz. He's done a lot of work on really what makes an engaging manager.
Uh-huh.
And we picked up from his work and research that he'd done, we picked up four key drivers which had been proven to be very important to be an engaging manager. And those four key drivers, Joe, were trust,
mm-hmm.
growth, recognition, and communication.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a starting point for really to think, right, so looking at those four key drivers, what's the behaviours you need for those four areas to be an engaging manager? And that then sort of led to thinking, well, how can we actually start measuring it?
Right. Well, measuring it in terms of an individual's performance, you mean, or capability?
Absolutely, in terms of the current ability that people had, but also identifying areas for development, which was very bespoke to the individual.
Right, right. And bespoke to the individual and kind of largely irrelevant to the sector they're working in, I would imagine?
Not necessarily. The behavioural, it's a really good question. The behavioural competency is 10 essential traits that really is about dealing with people. It's about engaging people, not necessarily what sector you're involved in. So it's very generic, the 10 traits.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I was. Yeah, so it doesn't matter where they work. These are equally applicable, really. This is about a manager of people rather than a manager of people in the pharma industry or a manager of people in the oil industry or public sector or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
That's a good distinction. Yeah, it cuts across every sector.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So So we've got the four key drivers of engagement that your Engaging Manager framework is grounded in. They're kind of like the building blocks, I guess. And then from that, you've drawn out these 10 essential behavioural traits. Can you take us through those, Trevor?
Yeah, absolutely. It's probably worth just mentioning at this point, Jo, we've done a lot of research and looking at different assessment tools to measure
uh-huh.
people's personality, behaviours, emotions, natural tendencies and preferences. And we came up with the one which is called Harrison Assessments Talent Solutions. And the reason we really liked that one and went for that one was because it doesn't label people or put people in a corner. It actually just looks at every individual trait on its own merits. And it
uh-huh.
also gives you the opportunity to build the competency by pulling together those 10 traits that we felt fitted the four building blocks, as you've rightly mentioned.
Okay,
Is that
a little bit of a sort of like a psychometric assessment then?
Yes, it's got elements of psychometric, but it's not just a psychometric. It measures
uh-huh.
Other factors as well as personality, and very job specific also.
Okay. Okay. Right. So take us through what are these 10 traits then?
Yeah, okay. So the 10 essential traits that we came up with were, Joe, what I'll do is I'll read you the trait. I'll also read you the brief definition that we've got for it as well.
Okay,
just to give it a bit of context.
Yeah, lovely. Thank you. Thanks, Trevor.
Yeah, so the first one is analytical, which
uh-huh.
is the tendency to logically examine facts and situations.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Collaborative, so to collaborate with others when making decisions.
Righto.
Enthusiastic, the tendency to be eager and excited to one's own goals.
Mm-hmm.
Helpful, which is a tendency to respond to others' needs and assist or support others to achieve their goals.
Mm-hmm.
Self-improvement, which
right.
is a tendency to attempt to develop or better oneself.
Yeah.
Takes initiative, to perceive what is necessary to be accomplished and to proceed on one's own.
Mm-hmm.
Teaching, the enjoyment of instructing, training, and educating others.
Mm-hmm.
Once challenge.
Once
so the
challenge.
Willingness to
yeah.
attempt difficult tasks or goals.
Uh-huh.
Once to lead.
Right.
That's about having a desire to be in a position where you're going to have to direct and guide others.
Mm-hmm.
And the final one, Joe, is sort of warmth, empathy, which is about mm-hmm. expressing positive feelings and affinity towards others.
Right, right. Okay. Gosh, that whoever's got those, they sound like an all-round jolly good egg, don't they?
They do, they do. And to put it into context, Joe, how we develop it, it's got 10 essential traits, this framework or competency. So we measure,
uh-huh.
we're measuring people against 10 essential traits,
uh-huh.
about sort of 8 to 10 desirable traits, but we also measure traits to avoid as well, which are more the negative traits.
Okay, right, right. So these 10 that we've talked about here, these are the positive ones, and then there's a few howlers that you keep an eye open for as well.
Absolutely.
I guess it's true to say, though, isn't it, that some of these essential traits, taken to radical extremes, as with anything that's taken to radical extremes, are going to be damaging. I mean, if somebody is over-enthusiastic to the point that they're leaping about like a, you know, puppy all the time and distracting everybody, that's clearly not particularly helpful. So it's about gradations as well, I guess, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely, Joe. That's such a good point. Because one of the things we also measure is a balance of traits.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, it's not just about being helpful all the time. So if somebody is too helpful, that's going to have a detrimental effect.
Yeah.
And I'm just looking for thinking of a good example for you. Let me see a good example here. Yeah, let's look at, so for example, if someone is shown too much warmth and empathy without having good enforcing skills and competency too, then if you're too warmth and empathetic, then it'll come across as quite permissive. So you need a good balance of enforcing too. So it's a really good point. So we do look at the balance of traits. So it's not just all about having strong scores or strong competencies in one particular trait. It's about balancing that trait with something else that's relevant to it as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so would it be right to say as well that these are grounded in those four building blocks, those drivers that you talked about, but they're not all equally contributing? So growth isn't equally contributing to all 10. Recognition isn't equally contributing to all 10. There are variations in that some of those key drivers are more to the fore in some of these behavioural traits than they are in others. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely, Jo. If you look at the four key drivers, so for example, let's take growth. So that's about growth of yourself, but also growth for your team. So it's important to encourage your team and give them the opportunity to grow. So therefore, mm-hmm. as a frontline manager, you'll notice on this, one of the essential traits is teaching. So it's the enjoyment of educating and helping others to learn.
Got you.
So that's
yeah.
very specific to growth.
Mm-hmm.
However, we looked at the 10 essential traits, and there is some crossover naturally. Because we did initially try to come up with four competencies, one for each of the four key drivers, but it was a bit too subtle.
Mm-hmm.
So we came
okay.
up with 10 essential traits that cover, in one degree or another, all four key drivers.
Yes. No, I can see that makes sense. So you do an assessment of an individual, and then depending upon what that tells you through the Harrison's assessment process, you then develop a support package to help them to build where they need to build and address where they need to address. Is that right?
Yeah, well, the first point is we get a dashboard of mm-hmm. each individual's score, of whether mm-hmm. they're a good fit as an engaging manager or if they've got areas for development. So the
right.
first point we do is we encourage and stress the strengths people have got for confidence to start with.
Mm-hmm.
And the last thing we would say to someone is, oh, you're not an engaging manager. We don't share the fact that they may not necessarily be such an engaging manager at that point. What we're looking to do is stress the strengths, but also look at a couple of areas, probably one or two areas for development that's going to help that individual to be more of an engaging manager.
Right. So, yeah, not trying to do all of it at once. So, okay, I get that. That makes sense, Trevor. Can you perhaps tell us a little bit about where you have seen, without sharing any commercial confidentiality or indeed any individual confidentialities, can you just tell us a story or two about where you've applied this and you've seen some real change for the business overall as a result?
Yeah, there was one manufacturing company who we worked with. And we worked with a couple of dozen or so of their management team.
Mm-hmm.
And we looked at looked at them individually and measured them against our framework or competency. But we also, what we can do as well is we can plot them as a team to look at the team profile and the team dynamic as a whole.
Okay.
And what that showed, Joe, with this particular company was they were very harsh and quite defensive.
Mm-hmm.
Almost to the point of coming across in quite a bullying approach.
Why does that not surprise me?
yeah. And what came about, it opened up the conversation, and an old MD, so the site director, who had been there previously for many years, had used that sort of very authoritarian approach, and the managers thought it was the natural thing to do to sort of follow that leader in their approach.
Yeah.
So the culture of that company was very, very authoritarian.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we've done was basically used that as the base for the development. And in the past, what they had said, the managers, as we sort of approached them with this, was that's how we've been told to do it.
Right.
So it gives us the opportunity to think, you know, there is a different way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And so looking at the 10 essential traits, the one obvious one that came out was the collaborative. They were very low on collaboration.
Right.
They just thought that I'm a manager, I make a decision and I just tell you what to do and you should get on and do it.
Mm-hmm.
And so we just put a big emphasis on that collaboration and also the communication that goes with that collaborative approach.
Mm-hmm.
So when we talk about communication, we look at, because they were very frank in their approach. So we were saying that frankness is really good. You need to keep that level of frankness, but let's incorporate some diplomacy.
Right, yes.
So it's a balance between the frankness and the diplomacy. And what we find is too much diplomacy without the frankness is going to make you quite evasive. However, too much frankness and not enough diplomacy is going to make you very blunt.
Sure, yes.
What we explained to them was you need a nice balance to give you that forthright diplomacy. So it's a good starting point to collaborate, good communication skills, appropriate communication with your teams, and get them involved in the decision-making process.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because if you're not careful, people can sort of say, "Oh, why are you doing it this way? We're fine with the way we've done it before, and what you're trying to get us to be is all pink and fluffy." But that's really not, is it? I mean, if we go back to Lindsay's definition of employee engagement and this sort of emotional commitment to an organisation and its goals, presumably what you're setting out to demonstrate is that actually by adopting a different approach, you will actually deliver better business results at the end of the day. It's not about being pink and fluffy and having happy, clappy workers running around smiling all day long, although obviously that would be a nice side effect of things. It's actually about delivering the goals that the organisation set.
Yeah, absolutely, Jo. And we put a big emphasis on the reason we're doing these engagement programmes. It's about productivity at the end of the day. It's good engagement managers so you can start improving the productivity through, unleashing a bit of that potential that everyone's got.
And what were the results? What were the results in this particular example that we're talking about?
I think initially we're still in the process of doing this, and what we've ended up doing, Jo, we've done some group activities, sort of general communication and collaboration. But what we've done is we've taken it down to one-to-one coaching, and we're getting very specific with the managers who possibly need a bit more help and assistance than others. So the ones who probably are not naturally diplomatic or not so comfortable at balancing the warmth, empathy, and the enforcing. We're working with them on one-to-one coaching program and to develop their specific behaviours and competencies in those areas.
Right. So, but you underpin all of your discussions with these guys around the fact that they may only account for 5% of that organisation, but actually they're influencing the performance of the remaining 95, and hence your model, really. Yeah. Okay.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Now we're getting horribly close to the end of the show. We always whiz through, I'm afraid. Time seems to speed up when we start these shows.
Yeah.
So I wonder whether perhaps I could turn to Lindsay now, just in the last few minutes that remained for us, just to talk a little bit about the broader context of what you're doing up there in the Northeast around Engage Northeast Group, Lindsay. Could you tell our listeners a little bit more about that?
Yes, I can. Well, we've been regional ambassadors for since about 2014. And to be perfectly honest, we didn't do a great deal with that for some time. And then we came together with another local company up here called People Gauge, and a lady called Maggie Pavlou.
Oh, I know. She's been on the show before, actually.
Lovely lady. And both companies are regional ambassadors. So we've joined forces and we've started to promote our Engage Northeast network. And then the whole purpose of the network is sharing best practice.
Yep.
Letting people know that, Engage for Success is alive and well. Mm-hmm. Bringing keynote speakers. It's not just listening to the directors from 3P or from PeopleGage. We've had Kathy Brown with us a couple of months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And to promote employee engagement in the northeast of England. Mm-hmm. And it's been a raving success so far. We've had some blue chip companies, which is great news. The big players. Coming to listen and not always offer their best practices, but certainly coming in and listening for now. But we're encouraging them to share their best practice. Lots of SMEs involved also, and businesses from a diverse cross-section of sectors as well. So it's early days, but really encouraging so far, just starting to spread the word about employee engagement, Engage for Success, and that there was a network ready for the northeast of England.
And what's the purpose of the network, apart from sharing best practice, obviously, and sort of raising awareness? Are you wanting to get people involved to actually play an active part in the network, or are you looking to just say, be aware of us and come along and support our event? What's your plan?
Great question. Good clarification there. Yes, we do tell the attendees and the members of the network, we'd certainly want their input. We certainly want to go to their company premises and hear what they're doing. So we're just coordinating the efforts and we want lots of involvement.
Okay, well, we've got 25 seconds left, so tell people how they get involved, please, Lindsay.
Yes, well, find us on LinkedIn, and it's Engage NE. So you find a network there. And we've got a lot of live tweets going out at the moment. So if anybody's on Twitter, have a look at 3P on Twitter, and you'll see lots of tweets about what we've been talking about today.
Excellent.
Another way to get a hold of us. And the email is very simple. If you use info...
Sorry, we've lost you there. Info at...
No, I thought we'd finished. If you use info at the number 3p.co.uk, that's a direct email into the company, and we can answer queries and talk to the listeners.
Lovely. We're out of time, I'm afraid. Lindsay and Trevor, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. Thank you, everybody, for listening. It's been great having you on board, and I'll just say goodbye and thank you.
Thank you, Jill.
Thank you. Cheers.
Bye-bye.
Engage for Success Radio, raising the profile of employee engagement and shining a light on good practice for people who believe there's a better way to work.